please.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy name. We bow before thee, dear Father, to thank thee now for this privilege of being able to come together in convention to learn more of thy precious word. We ask a blessing upon the fellowship this day. We ask a blessing upon the discourses. And we pray that we might come to a better understanding of thy plan and thy precious truth. We also ask, dear Father, a blessing upon the welcoming address this morning, that brothers' lips might be anointed in welcome and in appreciating this day of being together with one another. We now ask, dear Father, a blessing upon all dear gatherings the world over this day. We pray that thou be with those in affliction, especially Sister Donna Ostrander at this time, Brother Bill and the family. Thou will give them strength and hope through this ordeal. We ask, dear Father, that thou wilt overrule anything done or said amiss this day as well. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother John. It's nice to see everyone here this morning. We're going to open this convention with our morning devotions. And the brethren that have agreed to serve us, for the vow, Brother Dennis Long, for the resolve, Brother Matt Pongren, and for the manna, Brother Tom Cannell.
Morning, brother. Okay, a vow unto the Lord. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy rule come into my heart more and more, and thy will be done in my mortal body. Relying on the assistance of thy promised grace to help in every time of need, through Jesus Christ our Lord, I register this vow. Daily will I remember the throne of heavenly grace, the general interest of the harvest work, and particularly the share which I myself am privileged to enjoy in that work, and the dear co-laborers everywhere. I vow to still more carefully, if possible, scrutinize my thoughts and words and doings to the intent that I may be the better enabled to serve thee and thy dear flock. I vow to thee that I will be on the alert to resist everything akin to spiritism and occultism, and remembering that there are but the two masters, I shall resist these snares in all reasonable ways as being of the adversary. I further vow that with the exceptions below, I will at all times and in all places conduct myself toward those of the opposite sex in private as exactly as I would do with them in public, in the presence of the congregation of the Lord's people. And so far as reasonably possible, I will avoid being in the same room with any of the opposite sex alone unless the door stand wide open. Exceptions in the case of brethren, wife, children, mother, and natural sisters. In the case of sisters, husband, children, father, and natural brothers.
My morning resolve. My earliest thought I desire shall be, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I'll take up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord for grace to help. I'll pay my vows unto the Most High. Remembering the divine call, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. I resolve that by the Lord's assisting grace I will today, as a saint of God, fulfill my vows, continuing the work of sacrificing the flesh in its interests, that I may attain unto the heavenly inheritance in joint heirship with my Redeemer. I will strive to be simple and sincere toward all. I will seek to not to please and honor self, but the Lord. I will be careful to honor the Lord with my lips, that my words may be unctuous and blessed to all. I will seek to be faithful to the Lord, the truth, the brethren, and all with whom I have to do, not only in the great matters, but also in the little things of life. trusting myself to divine care and the providential overruling of all my interests for my highest welfare, I will seek not only to be pure in heart, but to repel all anxiety, all discontent, all discouragement. I'll neither murmur nor repine at what the Lord's providence may permit, because faith can firmly trust him, come what may.
Our manna for October 2nd. The text is forgetting those things which are behind. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. We forget the things that are behind because it is right that we should do so, because God forgets them and declares that he has cast all of our imperfections behind his back, that our imperfections are all covered from his sight by the merit of him who loved us and who died for us, and whom we love, and in whom we are trusting, and in whose steps we are seeking to walk with more or less imperfections according to the defects we have inherited in the flesh. We are not meaning to suggest that slips or failures should be lightly esteemed or quickly forgotten. They should be rectified to the intent of our ability, and divine forgiveness should be sought for these defects daily. Forgetting those things which are behind. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13.
Thank you, brethren, for your service. Appreciate that very much. Well, before we call upon Brother Don Neusel for the welcome address, we have a couple quick announcements. First, some love. Love from Brother Freeman Thompson and the Leslies. Also, if you have a cell phone, will you make sure it's turned off? Food and drink. The facility here has requested there be no food and drink in this hall. And as noted on our program, children in the meeting hall must remain seated and quiet at all times. There is a speaker in the lunchroom in which you can hear all the discourses for parents that need to take children out to the other room. And with that, we'll call upon Brother Don Neusel for the welcoming address. Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother David. Appreciate very much the sentiments of Brother John's prayer. Good morning, brethren, and a hearty welcome to the Little Northwest Fellowship Sunday in what today here is the house of God. Your brethren of the North Seattle Bible students regard it a privilege to welcome you and to continue this annual one-day gathering of brethren, what we term a tradition, started by Brother Ted and Sister Bessie Smith and the friends comprising the Bellingham class in the early 1950s. Their motive was to glorify our Heavenly Father, to provide another encouragement, a further opportunity for refreshment and strengthening of their fellow new creatures. And this we pray for, the strengthening and encouragement of each one here in this gathering today, that we can, as our text on the front of our program states, press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:12. In this period, in this day in which we find ourselves, it is a godless atmosphere in the world, and we are blessed in being able to come aside for a few hours to fellowship, a season of fellowship with our Lord and with each other. As we see the world with all of its problems and the ever-increasing, ever-rising flames of anarchy, how grateful we should be for our Lord's care and keeping, and that we can still gather as a body of his disciples and be built up further along this narrow way. The door is still open. Blindness, in part, is still upon Israel. We see some young ones here and there, symbolizing their consecration to be dead with Christ, to do His will, and giving signs of spirit begetting. How can we doubt, with these evidences, that the door would be shut, as some maintain? These that are called, that experience the drawing of John 6:44, to pick up their cross, take up their cross, and follow Him, have come because some have lost the respect for the pastor, the wise and faithful servant, Brother Russell, as the Lord's choice. That servant, that one, ruler over all His goods. And note, ruler, singular, in the text. In Ezra 10, verse 11, the instruction given was, separate yourselves from the people of the land. 1 Corinthians 6:17, further instruction to His disciples, separate yourselves and touch not the unclean thing. It is today that we come aside, desiring to be separate and to dwell upon the lovely, wholesome things that the Lord has provided for us. Our brethren who have been chosen to serve us on our platform spent their time, their hours in preparation, earnestly endeavoring that they would represent the Lord and be able to provide a beneficial lesson to each one of us. It is our responsibility to be humble and learn any lesson that the Lord would have for us. We have certain rules and responsibilities as new creatures. Abiding by the rules brings happiness. It brings security, a feeling of security, of knowing that we've tried to do things right. We see the world struggling, as the pastor refers. He uses the expression, man-made organizations, man-governed organizations. We see the world with its problems, and we see what the Lord is doing. He's showing them that they can't manage their affairs. They must have His leading in their affairs. Many times, when trying to effect a certain thing, we might make a certain endeavor, and every opposition is against us. And we must let go for a better head. Let Him take the lead and trust to His experience and His guidance. which may be far superior and far more extensive to our than our own. In our responsibilities to our Lord, there are certain terms that come to our attention. How often today do we hear the terms reverence? How often do we hear the term modesty? Those are two terms that we hear a little of. Occasionally, you might hear someone using the term dignity. These terms are what we might say are of a bygone era. We recall a dear sister, Sister Sarah Klein, who was in the Seattle class for many years. She passed away in 1959. I could be in error, but as I recall, it was 1959, at the age of 86, which puts her birth date around 1875 or in the middle 50s somewhere. One of the times when it was just herself and myself alone in the car on the way to meeting, he said to me, "Don, you don't realize what it was when I was young and in the truth." I said, "Well, tell me about it." She said, "We would go into meeting maybe 5 or 10 minutes beforehand. Everyone would be in their seats, and you could hear a pin drop, friends patiently waiting for the brethren to mount the platform and to commence the meeting and the singings and so forth." And she said, "That all seems gone today." Now, this is what she was saying about, this is in 58, 59 period. We have times of nostalgia, don't we? And we think of these older brethren, and we go around Bellingham, we think, "Oh, they had meeting there. Brother and sister so-and-so were here." Different ones would come in from the north, like the Mutchlers. And we have those feelings around Seattle, any place we live, and we look certain places. "Well, the pastor spoke there. 1909, that's the Moore Theater downtown Seattle." And get to going around the streets and looking at the different locations, and there's about 3 or 4 of them around Seattle where the pastor had served. And we feel this feeling of nostalgia of being back with him and with the friends there. They were having the same testings and experiences many of us have. We have to remember that we're not alone, that there are other brethren with us in this race. We're not racing against each other, but we're racing toward the prize. We want our brethren to be encouraged today, and we want the higher standard set before us, don't we? Reverential conduct is to be cultivated. Being on time is another one of the areas we must pay attention to. The Lord is a great timekeeper. And as it's mentioned on our program, everyone is requested to observe proper decorum in the house of God. We have scriptures in Proverbs 25, verse 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down and without walls. Proverbs 22, verse 6. And this text is one that President Eisenhower's mother quoted to him in trying to train him to control his temper. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. We've all heard that, and as parents, I'm sure that's impressive to us in our responsibility, for those of us who are parents. We have the First Timothy, chapter 3. And we have verses 4, 5, and 12 that we would like to call forth. This is given to those of us who hold the position of class servants. Must be one that ruleth his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? And verse 12, a little further down. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. You know, when we come in to the gathering of the brethren, we first come from the outside, or we see brethren that have just come in. Right away, our heart lightens up. We feel a little bit lighthearted and cheerful. It's just a delight to see these that we haven't seen so long or been with. And so the Lord provides these gatherings so that we can have a lift and an encouragement. We've had trials in the day-to-day experiences, and we feel beat down. There's nothing like getting with those of like faith and talking over the good things that the Lord has for us and for the world of mankind. The Lord has his rules that we must follow if we're going to gain a crown. If we're going to have any part, we must be rule-loving, law-abiders. We've recently taken some employment with a charter company driving these tour buses. And they have every high-tech convenience aboard those units that you can imagine. And one of their rules is, and they're very strict about it, that the speed limits will be observed with any of their equipment. And the other one is, this is a common sense rule, and they place great stress on it, and they will terminate an employee if they violate that rule. They have cell phones aboard the bus, and they will terminate anyone, any driver who uses it while in motion. To pull over, use common sense. So we have rules that common sense dictate to us. They realize that things can happen quickly if rules are not followed. So, brethren, our time is fleeting. Now we trust your day of fellowship, your season with the Lord of fellowship, will be a rich blessing to each of you. And again, we, on behalf of the sponsoring class, we welcome you to the Little Northwest Fellowship Sunday. Lord be praised.
Thank you, Brother Don. We appreciate that address of welcome and the many fine instructions found therein.